Welcome to 3GT, a podcast where a pastor, parishioner, and professor have lively conversations on practical Christian living from a Reformed perspective. For more information, visit our website at 3GT.fm.
Welcome to another episode of 3GT. My name is Kyle Borg, and I am joined with my partners in crime, Aaron Sams and Barry York, and we're excited to be able to sit down today and discuss another topic. And the topic we're going to get into right away is that both Barry and Aaron find themselves in a stage of life where they are making some vocational transitions. And so we're going to look at the nature of vocational transitions, maybe address some of the questions that Christians might have surrounding that, and hear a little bit about Barry and Aaron's experience in all of this. And so to get us started, just very briefly, I've noted both of you are in transitional phases right now with your vocation. So can you just tell our listeners a little bit about what that transition is in both of your lives?
Take it away, Aaron.
Okay, fine. Well, I'm actually recording this episode for the first time from my new office out at St. Vincent College. And so I have been an adjunct instructor out at St. Vincent College, which is a small liberal arts college just east of Pittsburgh, and in their education department for a couple of years now. And I've started full time out here this year. So this is a change for me. As a lot of you know who've been listening, I've been on the road a lot. I travel a lot. I've been running my own educational consulting business for a few years, and that's taken me all over the place. And for many circumstances kind of led up to me making this transition. One is I wanted to get into higher education, and part of that was starting my PhD program. Part of that is that's just what I want to do. I want to teach teachers full time and teach, you know, a new batch of science teachers ultimately. And so that's what I'm doing now. So this is a good career move for me. I'm also, I was just kind of getting tired of being on the road all the time. So this was a good transition. So I am a full-time education department instructor here at St. Vincent College. And so, yeah, that's been my big change, not living out of a suitcase or a briefcase, but actually having an office to sit and, you know, record 3GT episodes and work from now.
Go Bearcats!
Yes, exactly. How'd you know that? Did you just look it up?
I just went to Wikipedia.
Because that's a tiny school. There's only like 1,200 students here. So the fact that you would know that made me say, yeah, you just Googled that.
I was just trying to make you feel good.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
We won't even talk what is a Bearcat.
I have no idea what a Bearcat actually is, but there's about 1,200 of them walking around right now outside my office.
Well, for myself, I came out to RPTS in 2013 to be a professor of pastoral theology, and that's what I thought I'd be doing the rest of my days for the most part. And then a need arose regarding the presidency, and so I was asked by the church to serve in that capacity. So next summer, I will be, Lord willing, assuming that responsibility. And so I've been thinking a lot about this issue of transitions and actually working through plans in that regard.
So in an interesting way, you guys here in these vocational transitions are being forced back to maybe some earlier years of life where in your early 20s, you were trying to figure out a direction for the rest of your lives. And of course, that doesn't always go as we plan, and we do take these turns like you guys have. But I imagine that with this season, you've kind of been rethinking through jobs and vocations and maybe what the Bible says about those things. So one of the things that sticks out when you read the Bible is that as Christians, we know that nothing that we do is neutral, that even the apostolic letters give direction for our employment. And so I don't think either of you have unbiblical jobs. I don't want to say that, but maybe just to walk through with our listeners, what are some of the Bible's teachings with regards to what Christians can or cannot do vocationally? Have you guys ever been in a place in your life where you've had a job where you've had to think through that? You guys have thoughts on that?
Well, by God's grace, I haven't really been in a job myself, even though there was a time in my young adult years where I wasn't a believer, but the jobs that I did were certainly not restricted by the behaviors or principles of what the company was teaching or whatever that would have kept me from working for them. But I do think there are certain jobs that people shouldn't do when it's, you know, illicit. There's a huge industry out there, for instance, selling immorality through pornography. I think we should be careful in what places we go vocationally that might put us in places of temptation if we're not able or suitable to work in that environment. So I definitely think there are places we shouldn't go, but you know, the Bible does teach the priesthood of all believers. So there's many, many worthy vocations out there that we can operate in and enjoy. I was just meeting with a group of young men today, and one of the men was sharing his journey to the seminary, actually. But before, he was a software specialist for a company, and the job he had was just fine in one sense, but the environment that he was in was requiring him to be unethical, and the people were very morally bankrupt, and he just felt as a believer he could no longer stay in that position any longer. And so that was part of how God transitioned him out from that into other work that eventually led him to the seminary.
So for me, the first, I would say, real job I had out of college, I worked in a lab, and this particular laboratory had to report to various governing agencies like the Centers for Disease Control, the FDA, and there were some, let's just say, questionable practices during an audit that we were under one time, and I really felt compelled to get out of there as quickly as possible. And that's about the time I decided to become a teacher, so it was a good time for me to transition. But that's, I would say, probably the only time I found myself in a spot where I felt, you know, morally or ethically unable to continue in a particular location, not because of the job itself, but because of the kind of the governance structure of the organization itself. So, but, you know, for me, in terms of biblical practice for vocation, something that's really guided me throughout my life. This is one of the first Bible verses I ever committed to memory. It was I learned it at a church camp when I was a kid. It's Colossians 3:23 that says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." So whatever I find myself doing, I want to do the best job at it that I can. You know, I'm not going to be lazy. I'm gonna work at it to the best of my ability. And this, it's something I've always done and have kind of adopted that work ethic, if you will, to my own life. Not that I fulfill that, you know, to the best of my abilities every day, but it's something I'd certainly strive toward. And I actually had a job in high school where I had a manager actually tell me to slow down and not work so hard because he was afraid I was going to make other people look bad. And I was just working at a pace that I thought was appropriate and doing my job and asking for more things to do when I finished them. And he told me to slow down. So
overachiever.
I kind of played out that way.
Well, I had the same thing happened to me in college working in a factory. I was told by the manager on the floor to slow down because, you know, the union guys were getting mad at me. So that happens.
So, Aaron, just to confirm for our listeners, when you quoted Colossians 3, you did say work heartily, not hardly, right?
Yes, exactly. Heartily, with my whole heart.
Bummer, I was going to start Googling that verse and say, can I work hardly? Like, is that what?
Yes, exactly. Working hard or hardly working?
So, you know, I remember having a friend a number of years ago.
I had a friend a number of years ago, too.
My only friend ever. It is really a sad story. But I remember him being very challenged. He had gotten out of his graduate school. He had graduated with a PhD, and he was going to go to he was offered a job as a contractor with the United States military to help design missiles. And I know he went through a conflict of conscience. Do I give my gifts and talents and what I know to the making of missiles that, yeah, we pray will be used for justice, but could very potentially be used in a very unjust way? And so I wonder if some of our listeners might have those types of questions. So if I can probe just a little more, when you guys think about ethically vocationally, what is and is not allowed, what are some of the principles you might use in helping people think through that?
Well, I think they have to consider their ability to do the job. If they're considering a job, can they legitimately do it? In other words, has the Lord gifted them to fulfill the responsibilities they would have in taking on that employment? I think they have to think through, I know a lot of young people leaving college. I'm in a college environment around here, and I like to get them to really think about not only, the job, but is there going to be a good church in that community where that job would be so that I could serve and worship the Lord faithfully in that community, in that particular job? I think they need to think about, does the job provide? We can sometimes wonder if should we really be thinking about money as Christians. Well, I think the Bible has a lot to say about our resources, so we have to think about if the job will provide adequately for myself, my family, those I have responsibility for. And I think it's okay to think also just about, well, I actually enjoy doing this work. To be honest, I had to think long and hard before I came to the seminary. Though I have had a lot of struggles, as any pastor will, I still love being a shepherd of God's people and feel a real life calling to that. And I wasn't sure in the academic environment if I'd be able to be satisfied. By God's grace, I've come here and I do have satisfaction both in the work that I do there and also my involvement in the local church where I get to help in that capacity. So you really have to think about we're to enjoy God and enjoy the places that He puts us insofar as we're able. Obviously, sometimes the Lord can put us in very difficult spots, and like, Israel and Egypt. And so we don't always have that freedom. But if we have the freedom to think through and make a decision, then I think that should be a consideration.
Yeah, definitely. I know for me as an educator, Barry, you're talking about being able to, have adequate compensation and to actually provide for your family. I've turned down a few job offers just simply because I couldn't afford to work there. Usually these were at small Christian schools that just didn't have the finances or resources. And, had I started out my career at a particular location or had some other sort of supplemental income, maybe I could have been able to do that. But it just, we weren't in a position as a family financially to make that kind of change. And then to your comment about calling, one thing I've been convinced of for a long time is just that my calling as an educator, I absolutely love it. When I'm in the classroom and immediately after I, walk out of a classroom, I'm buzzing. I'm invigorated. I love it. And I'm like all my gifts just kind of collide at once, and I love doing it. And this is again, one reason why I'm in a professional transition right now is, when I was on the road as the traveling consultant, the dog and pony show that I was taken on the road. I didn't feel called to do it. I did it all right. I was able to do it well, but I didn't enjoy it. I felt like I was being disingenuous sometimes because this was a persona, a stage persona almost that I had to put on when I went out and did workshops or presentations and it just wasn't part of my calling. And being an educator was part of my calling. Being a teacher was part of my calling, and it just didn't fit. And I was always unsettled for as long as I was doing it. And Barry, you and I have had many conversations about that unsettled feeling I had for years. And ever since I've been in the process of making this transition, and especially since I've been out here full time now, I've just really settled in, and I feel like I'm back in my niche that I need to be in, that I've been called to pursue.
Kyle, I could attest to this because last week I had Aaron come into two of my classrooms to explain some technology that we're going to be using, and I almost had to push him out the door because he just gets so
nerd.
Yep, it wasn't even science.
But his passions were to teach and instruct were coming out.
Yeah, well, you guys have that's all very helpful, and I'm glad you both are in places where you're very satisfied. you guys began touching on some of this, but can we splice it apart a little bit more as we think through this? So both of you mentioned money and mentioned that, you know, Aaron, you said you've turned jobs down before where you would not be able to support your family. Both of you used the word adequate. Do you think it's okay for Christians to find jobs that are not only adequate, but more than adequate? Is that selfish of them? Or is there any, you know, the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of many evils. Is that permissible? Can Christians look at the compensation and say, well, it's adequate, but I want more? What do you guys think about that?
I think if you're, you know, if you're saying it's adequate, but I want more, I mean, there's, we have a free market for a reason. And, you know, if the compensation you're being offered is not, you know, similar enough to a comparable position in another, you know, another company that is and would offer more, then I think it's appropriate to say, hey, can you bump that up a little bit? And it's okay to negotiate, especially if that's driven out of a desire of fairness rather than greed. That, you know, it's totally fine to try to negotiate your salary. I don't see any reason to not to want to, you know, be competitive in terms of what you're seeking out for your compensation, as long as it's not trying to overwhelm you. I took the other direction. I'm actually making about a third of what I was making as a consultant in my new position. But to be perfectly honest, I'm much happier and I'm much less stressed out. And my wife feels like she got her husband back, I think.
Yeah, I think to complement what Aaron is saying, you know, the principle where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And Christ is constantly encouraging us to make sure that our hearts are driven by serving his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these other things, and he's talking about the ability to feed and clothe and care for yourself will be taken care of. So I think it's appropriate for us to evaluate compensation and to, you know, seek other employment that might pay more if we need that. But I think we do have to guard our hearts to make sure that that's not the driving, consuming force, just a love of money, a love of success, or a love of positions. We should really be thinking about serving and how in this world, in this brief time we're here on the planet, we can serve the interests of God's kingdom best with our given vocations and calling.
I like that answer. Just to point out, too, so the Westminster Larger Catechism in question 141, when it talks about the duties that are required in the Eighth Commandment, talks about that it is required and it is not unchristian to use all just and lawful means to procure, preserve, and further the wealth and outward estate of others as well as our own. And so yes, money can be the root of so many evils and so much selfishness, but at the same time, I don't think the Bible, I agree with you guys, I don't think the Bible forbids that Christians do that. So,
Yeah. And, you know, Kyle, on the other side of that coin, having run my own business in the past, and I had a couple of employees, and my goal was always to compensate them as much as I possibly could for the work that they were doing. I never was looking at what's the least amount of money I can pay this person to do the maximum amount of work. That was simply not my approach. It was, how can I give this person the most money I can afford to give them for the quality of the work that they're producing. So the people that I've employed have every one of them has expressed to me their thanks that I was always trying to give them more as much as I possibly could. And I was never trying to figure out ways to just, you know, pinch pennies here and there. Now, again, I hesitate to say that because it sounds like I'm just kind of, you know, patting myself on the back, but I want to put that out there just as a principle for, you know, for Christian employers to think about that, you know, that your ultimate goal is not to produce the maximum amount of revenue for yourself. You know, if you're running a business, yes, you want to have a successful business, but you've created a small little economy, a little sub economy. And part of that economy is making sure that everybody is able to function properly in that economy, and compensating people appropriately is a way to do that.
Absolutely. So both of you also have noted that you enjoy your jobs, and I'm very happy for that. In case any listeners are wondering, I very much enjoy the calling that the Lord has given me. I wake up in Winchester, Kansas every morning, very happy But do you think there are instances or how would you counsel somebody who felt that their vocation was going to have to be a Jonah to Nineveh type case where I really don't want to do this. And it's a drag doing it every single day. And I could go somewhere else, but I feel that I have to be here. It's my own little Nineveh. Do you think the Lord wants that for us? Do you think that's the way we should view our vocations?
I do think that there are phases of vocations, and it's interesting. Some have done quite a bit of study on just how people move from one phase of life to another, one part of their vocational training to another. And I think on earlier episodes, we may have spoken about young people, particularly they go to college, a lot of them do, and they think they're going to come out of college, land the job, and be in that for the rest of their days. And so many of them, you know, go through college with one degree, and they come out and they end up getting a job that's not even related to their degree. And then they jump from a few places and maybe get into a very difficult time or period where they're not real happy with their work. And I think there are seasons, and I would call those seasons of humbling, of God giving inner growth to the individual. Maybe you could even consider it preparatory for greater responsibilities that he will bring later in life. God's never surprised. He's always using these things to form character and develop talents. And so I think there often are times where we can be in a job that where we're languishing. And I find that it's often folks that are a little bit further down the road, you know, they start getting more into their middle age years or even older, where they have lots of job satisfaction in what they're doing. And I think that's partly because they've learned a lot of lessons trying out some different things along the way.
I think sometimes that's very true. I remember I hated college. I hated school so bad. And I remember a friend once asking me, you know, what do you want to do with your life? And I said, oh, I'd love to be a pastor. And they said, well, then you need to not only be passionate about the end, you've got to be passionate about the roads that get you there as much as you hate it. I remember that hurt a lot. But what about, let me just consider this from one more perspective when you're thinking through vocation, as you guys think about changes, things like that. What help might you afford to people, to Christians, with regard to promotions? You know, the Bible, I'm preaching a series on humility right now, which is very painful. But the Bible, again and again, consider others better than yourselves. And in vocations, often there's this competition that you would stand out, or even in the job applications you guys perhaps have filled out. You really got to sell yourself in some ways. So how do you maintain a spirit of Christian humility, considering others better than yourself, but competing in these vocations for promotions or even for a job?
Yeah, I think it's got to go back to Colossians 3:23 that I mentioned earlier. Just do your work, do it well, and people will recognize that. And you know, there's biblical examples of that too, where you know people were recognized for doing their work well, like Daniel and others, and they were brought up into positions of more authority and more oversight as a result of that. Now, that's not to say that you can't get promotions through, you know, backbiting and conniving. That happens all the time. But I think people who do that, people see that in the world, and they know that they're ladder climbers and they're not respected and they're not going to be there for the long haul. But if you're doing good work, people recognize that and just let your work, you know, speak for you, let your actions speak for you. And you don't have to, I think, claw your way into a promotion. But it also doesn't hurt to ask too. If you are working hard and think that you are being overlooked, you don't have to be pushy about it. You don't have to be overly ambitious, but you can say, hey, look, I'm ready to take on more responsibility. And I think your employer would jump with the opportunity to give you more responsibility if they can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in this culture where self-glorification's encouraged and, you know, the individual's encouraged, I think as believers, we have to really be careful not to conform to the world. And so if I'm thinking about a promotion or putting myself forward for something, I think we have to really, you know, make sure we're being sincere, we're being truthful about ourselves, not trying to put on a facade to impress others. I think another place for the, or another way that we're helped in this area is through, instead of me knowing what maybe I can do best, is to really have references, to ask other people, could you see me serving in this capacity? Could you see me doing this work? You know, people would be honest with you, because I think we learn so much about ourselves through the eyes of other people who are watching and observing us.
Well, that's all very, very helpful. At this stage in your life, you guys are making some vocational transitions. Sometimes, and I don't know if it is for you guys in particular, but that can be very anxious and very burdensome for some people. It's hard sometimes when you think you had your chart coursed and things seem to be going in a different direction. No doubt it's exciting as well, but how would you guys personally work through the anxiety and the burdens in a vocational transition, or how would you help encourage people who might be looking at this change, but anxiety and worry and fear sets in? What would you guys have to say to them?
So I'm going to jump in on this, because this is something I've had to wrestle with a lot. So part of my transition, as I mentioned, was my desire to get back into a classroom. But part of my transition actually came to me unexpectedly and against my will. I had a business partner, and he and I decided to go our separate ways. And it wasn't the greatest of situations, and it was really hard on me, and it was unexpected, and I didn't really know what was next for me or my family. And I was having a lot of trouble with that transition, just anxiety attacks, just really, like debilitating ones that would last for multiple hours, sometimes over the course of days. And I realized that at one point that I needed some help. Like, I couldn't work through this all by myself. And so I sought out a Christian counselor to help me work through the sources of those anxieties, to help me go through this career transition. And career transitions is something that, you know, he specializes in particularly. And, you know, over the course of meeting with him regularly for a year, I've been able to learn how to manage some of that anxiety, to learn to, how to respond to my body, you know, freaking out over rather insignificant things, how not to dwell on the past, how to trust in the Lord, how to just kind of keep moving along. And so I would recommend anybody who's scared about job transitions, or is in the middle of a job transition, who is having, you know, anxiety or trouble, to seek out counsel from your pastor or from a counselor, or someone who can, you know, to who you can talk to and you can pray with to get you through it, because it's not easy. There's plenty of research out there that shows that job changes and, you know, other major life changes like that are some of the most stress inducing mm-hmm. aspects of our lives that we can encounter, and you don't have to do it alone, and it's not easy, and it's not shameful in any way to ask for help. Mm-hmm.
And if you want Aaron's help, just email us after you listen to this episode, and we'll give you his cell phone number.
And I can put you in touch with some really helpful people.
I'm sorry, Barry, I interrupted you.
No, I was just going to affirm. I think there's so much, when we hear the word counselor, it's just, it can convey negative imagery that I'm so bad off that I need counsel. And I think what we need to really think a lot about and try to help people in the church understand particularly is we all need coaching. Like, if we're wanting our child to transition from not being able to play the piano to being able to make music come from it, if we want a kid to improve his baseball swing, we know they need a coach. And we just go out and we'll plunk money down and we'll drive and we'll do whatever we need to improve our children's skills in those areas. And then we come to our vocations, where we're trying to develop skills to use in a work environment to help other people. And we don't always know the best thing to do. We don't know if we're qualified. And we just need people to come alongside us and coach us along. So, you know, certainly if you're having lots of struggles with something, you may go to someone who's a professional in that area. But it doesn't always have to be, you know, you go to a counselor in the official sense. You can go, as Aaron was alluding to, that's really part of the job of elders. I especially think ruling elders are so important right here, because mm-hmm. I've seen so many young men, they come to me and I'm not living necessarily in that same business world or vocational world they are, but I often have someone like an elder or someone else in the church that has had experience there, and I can just guide them over to that person. And it's fun to watch ruling elders and others in the church using their experiences to bring others along. So I think that's really, really important to do.
That's all very, very helpful. Well, we're nearing the end of this episode. I think you guys had some wonderful comments there, some good suggestions. I'm going to close with a final question that should be able to be answered very briefly. St. Augustine once said, love God in whatever you do and do what you want. If we put a little more of a reform spin on that and say, glorify God in whatever you do and do what you want, do you think that is good or do you think that is bad advice?
Barry, go.
I think it's good advice, especially if the first is your aim. If you're seeking to glorify God, then that gives you a lot of freedom to choose holy options that he puts before you. And if you're seeking him, he will make it clear which of those options to choose and which direction to go. I've seen that over and over again.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's pretty solid advice as well. I kind of grew up in circles, and even I think there's an element of this at the Christian college I went to, that if you were not, you know, devoting your life to full-time church ministry, that you were somehow a subcategory of Christian. Yes. And there was kind of that mentality out there, and it still kind of percolates in my back of my head that sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe I should be doing this, that, or the other. But the world needs strong Christians in every field, not just in full-time ministry. And we need to be out there fulfilling those roles, you know, doing scientific research and, you know, being a good chef in all these environments. And so whatever you're gifted in, whatever you love doing, you can do that to God's glory. And it doesn't have to be, you know, in a full-time ministerial capacity.
Well, excellent. I really appreciate both of those comments, and hopefully our listeners will value what you guys have said here. Well, thanks for tuning in. We come now to the end of another episode of 3GT. We'll see you next time.